right, so we look outside and it's white this morning, and it looks like they're saying it's going to be white for a while. So that's fine. As long as it's that way, we'll just have services this way. I do miss everybody and miss ever seeing everybody. We got a partial crew here today, and we want everybody to feel free in the Lord this morning and receive from Him this morning. So I am going to start winding up this. The plan is, I hate to say those things, but it looks like I'm about to wind this up, and probably take this one and the next and maybe another. So maybe three services before we wind it up, but it's getting there. And before we started into the end part or winding this up, I wanted to go back in this first page. Let us look at Revelation one more time and see how important it is, and see how what Revelation really is, what Revelation is not, how Revelation comes and how Revelation does not come. And we'll pray that the Lord will help us, because His word is living. God's word is living, and it means everything to us. And Satan can just stop right now trying to stop this message, because it's coming. The Lord wants it to be said, and it's going to come. And so He can take His hands off the children and let them be still now and not be upset. We love them, and we love this word, and we're not going to let Satan cause a problem, although he's tried many times. All right, let's start in the message. This is in the Church Ages book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So notice, John had the revelation, and Jesus was the revelation. And He produced Himself right here in the Scripture. I am He that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty. Amen. So all that, Him that was, Him that is, and Him that shall come, right there He was standing in front of them. Because Brother Branham, they said, let us see God. We want to see the Father. And He said, have I not been with you all this time, and you don't know me? So people can have all the ideas they want about God, but the prophet told us exactly the truth. The next paragraph, if Revelation is beyond you, so Revelation is everything, look up and see God for it. That's the only way you are ever going to get it, is to look up and seek God for it. There is no other way you will ever get it. Do not miss that. There is no other way that you will get it but by looking up and seeking it from God. That is the only way you will ever get it. A revelation has to come from God, because revelation is God Himself making Himself visible. That's what revelation is. It starts with His thought, and then it became word, and then it becomes visible. That's what revelation is. And anybody tells you they can have their own faith is a lying person. You don't have your own faith. You have faith that God give you. Revelation is God's, right? And faith is God's. He gave it, and He will always give it. And the only way it will ever come is from God. It never comes by human natural endowments. Can we hear that? It will never come that way. Ever. No matter how many men tell you it will not come that way. But by spiritual endowment. And that alone. And that is a personal thing.
Every revelation you get will come that way. Every revelation will come that way. You can memorize the scripture, and though that's wonderful, that won't do it. It has to be a revelation from God. It has to be God expressing himself. That's the only kind of revelation there is. God expressing himself. That's all. I know I sound loud, I'm sorry, but this is burning on my heart to say it. I don't want people to miss it. Satan comes in and he misconstrues your mind and he does all kinds of things with your mind. But God's word goes beyond our minds and it becomes him expressing himself. And that's the only time it's any good to anybody. It has to be a revelation from God. It says in the word that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. It says in the word that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by Holy Ghost. You have to receive the Holy Ghost. Then and only then can the Spirit give you the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, God, the anointed. You have to be anointed before you can recognize the anointed. Not the false anointed, the anointed. No one knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. And he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them. Now, what are the things of God? The things of God are everything that God has given us. Everything that God is bringing to pass. All right? We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in this world. So when we call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world, what are we doing? We're saying, God, come express yourself in me. Let me recognize what you're doing. Let me be a part of that. That's what we're desiring. We're desiring. It's a love affair. It's a union between you and him that brings it to pass in this world. It's the only thing that splits this reality that we have out here every day. And it becomes God forcing himself into God, into Satan's kingdom, and destroying his kingdom. That's the only thing that will do it, is when man steps aside and God can come in and bring his kingdom to bear. And it won't come by flesh. It'll come through flesh. Nothing good that God wants will come any other way than God through flesh does what he wants. Not me go claim something. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. That's a bunch of nonsense from the pits of hell. God Almighty will do what he wants through his body. When he wants to. How he wants to. Whenever he wants to. I'm sorry, I'm yelling. We have accepted the Bible. Now listen, what he's saying. We have accepted the Bible. We accepted the great truths of it. But still it's not real to most people. Do you see that, brother and sister? Do you see that? You've accepted the great truths. You worked them out. You figured them out. You've laid them out for everybody. And they still don't believe it. It takes God to do it. No matter how well we explain it to one another, it takes God to bring it to pass. We have accepted the great truths of it. But still, it's not real to most people because the revelation by Spirit is not there. So you can accept the great truths of this message. Did you hear what he said? Did we hear what he said? We can accept the great truths of this message and it still not be real to us. Remember what Brother Ram said? He said it several times. Sympathizing with the word. That's what he says. What he called it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the word has not been quickened. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. The very righteousness of God. That's the word for this day. That wasn't a word for every age. They become that word for that. But that's not the righteousness of God. The righteousness is the full preeminence in his bride. And it only comes by the union with him. Do you get it? It says that we are the very righteousness of God himself by being in Christ. That's the age that we're living in, brother and sister. That we are that. This is the manifestation of the Lamb's Book of Life. This has nothing to do with that first book. This is God and his creation, his new creation that he meant to bring the whole time. And he has been bringing it. In order to bring it, it had to come through Christ. In order for Christ to come, there had to be a fallen group. And so God moved through that to bring it to pass. To bring us righteousness. It says that Jesus becomes sin for us. It does not say he became sinful, but became sin for us. That by our union with him, we might become the righteousness of God. And so outside of the union with God, the one that we read about in Hebrews, the one that Jesus asked, that they would be one with you, God, as he and God are one. That union, that's what God's been aiming for the whole time. And that's what he's having now in this hour. He's bringing it to pass. That to us became sin for us, that our union with him might become, we might become the righteousness of God. And if we accept the fact, and we must, that he literally became sin for us by his substitution for us, then we must accept the fact, that we, by our union with him, have become the very righteousness of God. You see that? The very righteousness of God. If we believe we're the very righteousness of God, that's going to make a message to this age. And people, they're not going to miss it. And we're sometimes so weak. Now, I brought this first page not because of somebody. I brought it because of me, okay? I brought it because of me. So if Satan's telling you it's because of you, it's not that. I brought it because of me. If it applies to you, that's fine. But the only person I know it applies to is me, okay? So this is the way we're supposed to be. The very righteousness of God. To reject one is to reject the other. To accept one is to accept the other. Now we know that the Bible says that. It can't be denied. Yeah. But the revelation of it is missing. You see that? He's saying the same thing he did up here a while ago when he said, we have accepted the great truths, but it's still not real. He comes on down here and he says, now, we know the Bible says that, that we're the very righteousness of God. It can't be denied. We're not going to deny it. But we don't have the revelation of it. It is not real to the majority of God's children. It is just a good verse in the Bible. But we need to have it made alive to us. And that will take revelation. Now, I'm skipping on down here. There's a lot there if you want to go back and read that I left out. Make no mistake about it. We have the infallible Word of God today. We have it, but what have we done with it? And no man dares take from it or add to it. But we need the same Spirit that gave it to teach it to us. Oh, how we need revelation by the Spirit. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. Though some are very good, and I'm not against them. But we need the revelation of the Spirit. Thank God, and thank God, we have what we need, for God wants to reveal. Thank God, we have what we need, for God wants to reveal His Word to us by His Spirit. Amen. May God begin by His Spirit to give us continuous, life-giving, and prevailing revelation. May He do that. This is the prophet saying that he wants us to have it. That God wants us to have it. Oh, if the church could only get a fresh revelation and become, you got to have a fresh revelation, and become by the living Word manifested, we would do the greater works and glorify God our Father in heaven. All right, so I wanted to bring that first so that when we get in here, I want us to realize just how real these words are and what they should mean to us. And we, there's too much time that goes by that we don't count them for the value that they are. And seed not err with the shuck. The natural seed, therefore, was only a carrier. And we remember reading in the, it was the last service or the service before, where Brother Branham talked about the two books of life, where he talked about one was your natural life and one was your spiritual birth. One was your natural birth, one was your spiritual birth. Through Ishmael, so now he's talking about the natural seed, therefore, it was only a character. So that natural birth and how that natural birth came was just a carrier. Just like the stalk. I'm sorry, I skipped a line there. Therefore, it's only a carrier through Ishmael first, Isaac second, and on down to the seed. Just like the stalk, tassel, and shuck of the corn. Now here, the three stages of the seed shows us the true picture. And I want you to notice with me this morning, we are seeing here. And as being uneducated, I have to take the natural things that I see to type the spiritual things that's made known to me. See, he has to do that. He said otherwise, because I couldn't make it sensible to you in any grammar. So he couldn't use big words to explain it to us. So he has to take these things and types and stuff and show them to us. And how can he do that? Anyhow, God always types the spiritual by the natural. How many times does he type the spiritual by the natural? Always. Always. Don't forget that. If there wasn't a Bible, I'd still know that Christianity was right, because the whole earth turns upon death, burial, and resurrection. Nature works death, burial, and resurrection. So, all right, let's get one more so that you know that Brother Bram didn't say this one time. He said this in the morning, and then in the evening he says this. Now we see that all the natural thing is a type of the spiritual things. So now he says it in reverse. Spiritual types of natural, natural types of spiritual. And we went through in our lesson this morning as the Son and His nature. That was my first Bible. Before I read a page in the Bible, I knew God.
Looks in that.
Through the revelation of what he saw of God in his nature, he knew God before he ever read a page in the Bible. Because the Bible is written everywhere in nature. And it just corresponds with the Word of God. Now, how is that possible? How is that possible that a man could see that unless God showed him himself in nature like that? The Bible is written everywhere in nature. And it just corresponds with the Word of God. How the death, burial, resurrection of the nature and the sun rising, crossing, setting, dying, rising again. There's so many things that we could type God in nature that we have to bypass for this message. The natural is a type of the spiritual. And then choosing of a bride in the natural is a type of choosing a bride in the spiritual. All right, so I wanted to bring those because we're going to start looking at here in marriage and divorce about something that God done there in the beginning in the garden. I want us to not know what he's saying here. He's going to talk about this natural first. There's nothing can stoop like her. Now he's talking about an immoral woman. And she's designed so that she can be deceiving. And Satan is really working on her today in these last days because he is her designer. I can prove that now. And that sounds like he's saying that Eve was made by the devil. And we know that's not true. That Satan had some kind of input on how God made her. And we know that's not true. Because the Bible says God made her. He didn't make her with Satan's help. So what is he talking about when he says Satan is her designer? I can prove that now. Go right back at the beginning. Who started to work on her? Adam or Satan? God or Satan? See? So by talking about what her designer is, he's talking about who went to work on her after she was created. It's her chief weapon to throw man to her filth. Being a pretty woman, she can sway a man any way she wants to. Brother, it ain't the bootleg joint down here that gets the woman, man. It's the pretty woman walking down the street, twisting herself, half-dressed. That's what takes. That's the deceiver right there. And she's deadly with it. Absolutely deadly. You may question me about Satan being her designer, but that's the truth. Satan designed her. He still does it. So that's something he does after the creation. He didn't have nothing to do with the creation or making of Eve. Let me show you something in the scripture. I got to take you back to the scripture and you draw your opinion as you look at it today. Satan is the only one who features that kind of beauty. And if we'll notice, he was the most beautiful of all the angels in heaven. Is that right? And he desired to make heaven a more beautiful place than the kingdom of Michael. He thought he could do it better than God. Is that right? Also, to show that Cain was his son, he offered a more beautiful worship. Decorated his altars with fruits and flowers and so forth. Is that right? Beautiful. Sin is beautiful. What we call beauty today. And sin is deceiving by beauty. You never look at a woman going down the street and tell what's in her heart. See? But I wanted to say these things so that you can see why Satan is her designer. Why he is her designer. That's exactly right. His own son proved it, Cain. Now she is beautiful, so she can deceive. Now skip it on down in the same message. You may now ask me, why did he, that's the capital H, permit her to be designed thus? I don't want to take too much time because I got a lot more to say here. Why? The question might arise, why did God take this woman like this? Why did he permit her to be like that? Why did he permit her to be like that? Why did God permit there to be a part of his creation that Satan could come and start working on and design? Because there was no other part of his creation he could do that. You'll see in a minute where Brother Bram talks about nature couldn't sin, period. So why did God have this one that could sin? Now you might ask me, why did he permit her to be designed thus? Now, she's designed thus natural, in the natural, right? Brother Bram says she's the weaker vessel. We'll get to that here in just a minute. So keep in mind that the natural types to spiritual. So somewhere spiritually, there's this same thing, that God permitted something to take place. I don't want to take too much time because I got a lot more to say here. Why? The question might arise then, why did God make this woman like this? Why did he permit her to be like that? It was for his own good pleasure. And now that I think I've... Let me see if I included... Yeah, I did. So I'm not going to try to explain. I'm going to let him explain. So he did it for his own good pleasure. So God had a reason for creating this whole creation. And he said Adam was in his image. But then he took another piece and put it there, and put her there so that Satan could start working on her. He put her there for that reason, made her for that reason. Now think, there's a spiritual type to that. Because that was, he put her there in the natural, made her a weaker vessel. There's a spiritual type to that too. Because Brother Bram said it's always. Natural always types the spiritual. Spiritual always types the natural. It was for his own good pleasure. Now, if you want to turn your Bible just a minute, let's turn to Romans 9 just a minute and show you something, how God does things. If you want to read it, and we can see here that God does for his own good pleasure. Now, he talks about Romans there. I didn't put all the Romans in there, but you can go back and read it. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his own power known, in order to make his power known, endured such long suffering, the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory. So what if God decided he would suffer these vessels fitted to wrath, vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy? So he let these things take place like this. It had to be, I'm sorry, I jumped, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Now, argue with that a while. God did it. Now, this is hard for people to believe, that God would set things up to fall. And it's not talked about a whole lot. God set it up so that it would fall. Because God couldn't create a fallen creation. Now, I went over this before, but I don't want us to miss it. He says, now argue with that for a while. God did it. He had it, had to make it this way. It had to be there. Now listen now, for about 5 minutes, I want to call your attention to something. What is God? God is the great eternal. And at the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. So now he's going to explain to you why God allowed this to go on. And why he put it there and let Satan, why he put a creature there that Satan could work on, that Satan could design, that Satan could deceive. Couldn't deceive Adam, but he could deceive her. At the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Do you know that? God is an object of worship. And there wasn't nothing to worship him. He lived alone. There was nothing to worship him. No angels, no nothing at some point. No people, no sons and daughters, no expression at all. Just God. He wasn't even God. And in him was attributes. And what is an attribute? It's a thought. Now you'll get something that will border on the lesson for tonight. Now he's referring to, now he's getting ready to go and expound on something that's going to border on what he's going to talk about tonight. And what did he preach that night? Was, who is this Melchizedek? He talks about a lot of things in there. Notice, he was his attributes that was in him. That's what he was. He was these thoughts. He was these desires. Now, it was in him to be a father. It was in him to be God. It was in him to be son. It was in him to be savior. It was in him to be healer. And all these things here are just displaying his attributes. All the things that's been taking place through this permissive will that's on the earth today. Healings and God coming on the scene and being our savior and all these different things. Those are his attributes taking place through there. There is nothing out of order. He meant for this to take place. He meant for it to happen. He set it up so it would happen, so that he could show who he was. That whole first creation was his doing. He set it in place. Now, I shouldn't say it was his doing, because man brought the fall. Woman, God put the woman there to make that happen. Brother Branham used the word permitted. God permitted it to happen. Certainly, he said, there's nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly he did. There's nothing out of order. It's just displaying his attributes. All this that looks like it's out of order, God's still taking place in there. Now, he could not be just and make a man to fall. He couldn't make him do it. Nor could he make a man that had already fallen. Because if that's the case, then from God came something wrong. Something that was messed up. You see what I'm saying on that? He can't be a healer unless something is sick. Can't be a savior unless something's lost. I missed the one line there. Paragraph 154. Now, he could not be just and make a man to fall. He had to put him on equal basis of free moral agency. Now, when he done this, that is the covenant. That is that first covenant. When he said right here, and he put him on a free moral agent for him to choose, that is the first covenant. We know that. That's before the fall ever come. But knowing he would fall, he put him there knowing what he would do. Because he'd set it up that Eve was there and Satan would do what he was going to do. It can't be a healer unless, okay, so he can't be a savior unless something is lost. He can't be a healer unless something is sick. These things that had to be that way, God made them thus so that he could show his great attributes, they could be displayed. He made it that way to display them. Remember what we read in the last service or the time before when we read what Brother Branham said in the book, the two books. He said that the first book leads out to the second one. And when Brother Branham said that Jesus thought of himself as a man, and it transmitted him down to be Jesus Christ. Now, how did Jesus Christ get on this earth? Jesus Christ got on this earth through this first creation. Do you see that? That's how he got on this earth. God created this first creation, knowing what it was getting ready to do, knowing what man was going to do, knew what Satan was going to do. He knew all those things were going to take place. Does that make sense? All right, so he knew all that was going to take place, and so he set it all up because what was he doing? He had a way he was going to bring Jesus Christ into being. And he was the firstborn among many brethren. He was that Lamb's Book of Life that was coming on the scene. So he was going to bring the Lamb's Book of Life on the scene through that first book of life. You see what I'm saying? That's what Brother Branham said. One leads out to the other, just like it does for an individual, but now it's doing it for all of God's people. That's what he was doing. I hope that makes sense. I hope I didn't mash that all up. God, give me grace. Say it right. All right. He had to put him on a free moral agency to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. And when he set him on the next one, what did he say? I've already done it. It wasn't about Adam making a choice down here no more. It was God had made the choice, and he had already put the names on the Lamb's Book of Life, and he was going to bring that to pass. This has always been about God bringing that Lamb's Book of Life into being, because the Lamb's Book of Life is the predestination. It's the eternal. You can't be a healer unless something was sick. And these things had to be that way. God made them thus so that his great attributes could be displayed. So in order to display those great attributes, these other things had to happen. If there wasn't that, he'd had never been a savior. See how one led out to the other. But we know he was. Even before there was a time, he was a savior. He was a savior, so there has to be something lost. How's it going to be? He can't make it lost. It's got to, on its own choice, choose to be lost. And that was the very first question I had when I first started looking at about Adam and his soul. I asked Brother Holmes, I said, Brother, how is it if the thing that Adam makes choices with, the free moral agency that Adam has, if that's God, how could God come against God? How is that possible? And then I started to see in the message where Brother Branham started to make these comparisons between Adam and Jesus. And I started to see where he made the comparison, and he said Adam was behind the Word. Didn't say he was the Word. Behind the Word. Jesus was the Word. He didn't say Adam was the first son. He said Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. On and on and on. There's many, many things he said about Jesus that he didn't say about Adam. Because Adam was in Jesus. I don't know why a lot of this matters, but he said it, so I'm saying it. I feel like he wants me to say it, so I'm saying it. Okay, so there must be something to it. If there wasn't that, he'd have never been a savior. But we know he was. Even before there was a time, he was a savior. He was a savior. So there has to be something lost. How is it going to be? If he takes and loses it, just to in order to save it, then it isn't justice to his judgment. If he done the losing, if that was God in Adam that chose to fall, then that was God doing the losing. That was my question. Does that not make sense? Because we've been taught for years that soul was God. And that soul is what makes the choice. That soul rules over us. And it does everything it's supposed to do when that soul is one with God. Yet Adam's didn't do that. Eve was deceived and she didn't do it. And Adam knew better and still done it. Could you imagine Jesus Christ doing what Adam done? No way. It couldn't have happened. Adam was the path to Jesus. All that was the path to Jesus. So. I'm probably just telling you the same thing over and over, but I don't want you to miss it, okay? Sometimes I'll say the simplest things and somebody will come to me afterwards and just say, Chris, I never saw that. And I never would have said it. It just came out and I never would have consciously said it. So, because I thought everybody knew it already. So I'm going to quit thinking like that. And when I feel led to say something, I'm going to say it. And I believe that God will honor that. He was a Savior. Let me see where I was here. If he takes and loses it just in order to save it, then it isn't justice to his judgment. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. He is kind and gentle and true and honest, and he's a great judge. He would be working against himself, and he didn't do that. So he had to put a man out there and make him on a free moral agent so he would, knowing, would fall. He put that man out there knowing he would fall. Now, don't that sound like something? Don't that sound like just like he said about Eve? He put there knowing she would be deceived? So, now I'm not going to leave it there. I got in the next services, we got some more to show. And it's not just the one there. So now knowing would fall, and the man in his own image, how could he fall? Now listen, the man fell. Brother Bram's not talking about the man didn't fall. The man fell. What he's talking about is the man wasn't deceived. See, and people take that and they'll run with it and say Satan, that they'll say Adam never sinned, which is a bunch of hogwash. I don't care who hears it or who thinks about it. It's a bunch of hogwash. Brother Branham said he sinned. Brother Branham said he knew better and he done it anyway. And just because it says he wasn't in the transgression doesn't mean he didn't sin. Eve was in the deceiving. She was the vessel made to be deceived. And when Satan started working on her, then Adam went with her and went down with her. All right. I'm sorry that I'm so hard about these things. But like Brother Branham said one time, he said, I know that hurt. There was some of them sitting in there, didn't like something. He said, but I'm greatly loved in heaven. So I'm going to say what he said. I don't care who don't like it and who thinks they got some other idea about it. It's your idea. You go ahead and take it. I'm going to take what he said. Don't misread what Brother Branham says. So the man wasn't deceived. That's what he's talking about. How could he fall? Because we know the man fell. Now you see daylight. So what he's saying is he had to put this other woman there, let her be deceived, and then let Adam take her back. And that be a type of Christ. But still, Adam done wrong when he took her back. Y'all know where that's at, right? He said before the foundation of the world, you shouldn't take her back when she's been with that other man. And Adam did it anyway. So the Brother Ram said God held that against Adam. And then you'll see all through the message where Brother Branham talks about Adam's fallen race. That old Adam nature. Where did the old Adam nature come from? Where did the old Adam's race come from? Satan didn't create it. Satan perverted something that God put there that he could pervert. And I don't care what nobody thinks. That's what it is. That's thus saith the Lord by the prophet. Now you see in daylight, he had to make a byproduct, something out of the original creation. You see it? And what happened to us? When he created us, what did he do with us? Brother Ram said that he went straight from thought to flesh.
But that's not what he done with Jesus. Not what he done with Jesus. He went thought to word theophany to flesh. So, but that's not what he done with us. That's what he was going to do with us, but he was doing it through Jesus Christ. All right. I got quotes for that. We'll bring those Wednesday night if y'all are still with me and still want to hear it. Now, you see in daylight, he had to make a byproduct, something out of the original creation. Now you see it. There you come. See that? Then that's what fell. He made it knowing it would fall. God made it knowing it would fall. How did he know it was going to fall? Ask yourself that question. Because Brother Brown said he couldn't make it fall. If he did it, he was wrong. But he made it knowing it would fall. He done it. Making. How did he know it was going to fall and he wasn't going to do it? I hope that shines a little light on that soul. So many people have so many ideas about that are just flat not with the message. Then that's what fell. See that the Eve was in the transgression and she fell. He made it knowing it would fall. And it's put over in the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. There is honor bestowed. Where is honor bestowed today? Think on that. Notice closely now. So now as we start, let's get the rest of this. Then again, why she was designed this way and not other females. Look at that. None of the other females was made out of this. They's all made in the original creation. She wasn't. Not like the other females. Why was she a woman designed so and not other females? None of the other females was designed like that. They're not today. They can't. Not being made that way, she can't do it. See, he's talking about the other females. They're not made that way. They can't do it. Why did he not make this female then a woman just like other females so she would be just the same way, could just raise her babies? So he's just proving his point just as clear as he can prove it. Then she would have her husband and live, and then when it come time for her baby, she'd have a baby. Why didn't he make her like this? I can't say these words, and you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? If you can understand, say amen. All right, see, there's young girls and young boys here, but you know the animal has to come to a certain time of the year when her mate, then it's her, then that's all. But a woman, it's any time. Why did he make her like this? See, she can, any time, she can say yes or no. Brother Branham, I think that's where we're going to end up, over in the Invisible Union, where he talks about her being able to say yes or no. None of the other animals can say yes or no. It's built into their nature, built into their animalness to be what they are. They don't choose. I can't say these words. All right. Paragraph 160. Now watch his great program unfold as we go through here to now, just as perfect can be. I don't know this till, I didn't know this till the other day. Why didn't he make her like that in the beginning, like the rest of the females? Because it would be unbecoming to him. Just the other day, he found this out. And he's the fountain of all purity. That's the reason he had to let Satan get a hold of her. When he done what he done in the perversion. So even though God made her outside of the original creation, he did not make her a perversion, but he made her a weaker vessel. Such a creature would not be becoming to him originally designed. All his works that he designed in the original is in continuity. All his original works was in continuity. The female dog, the male dog, see? Female cow, male cow. Everything's in continuity. All nature's in continuity. See, die, go in the ground, just
like death, burial, and resurrection. The sap goes down out of the tree, drops in its leaf, comes back the next year with the resurrection of the new leaf. See what I mean? Everything, even the nature of God, is all in continuity in one. And there's one designed out of the continuity of God. Nature is so designed. Nature. He keeps saying nature, 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 nature. And then natural types the spiritual. Nature is so designed so it can't sin. Think. The original creation of God could not sin. Oh, don't you see it now? In this view here, the perversion of the church. The original is God's word. Don't miss that. The original is God's word, and God's word can't sin. There is no sin in God. See what I mean? And that's why I said that Brother Branham, that Adam was not yet the word. He was behind the word. And the message supports that. And by what I mean by not yet the word is that he had not been expressed yet. The only way that Adam could be expressed in the eternal thought that God had about Adam had to come through Jesus Christ. That was the only way that could take place. And that had not took place. And so Adam could not be that yet. Read it in the Church Ages book where Brother Branham said that the only way he was going to give man eternal life was through Jesus Christ. So Adam didn't have eternal life back there. He had the promise of eternal life if he would do such and such. And God knew he would never do it. So eternal life comes from Christ. Oh, don't you see it now? There's no sin in God. See what I mean? Here is a creature that come into existence by perversion. God, see there? It came into existence by perversion. So God created a female that could be perverted, and then Satan done the perversion. God is going to have a church, but look at this perverted thing that they've got out here. Remember what he said about Jehovah's bride went whoring back there. Now I've been planning this message and coming up to this message, so don't. I've been working on it for a while. When I said that we've been talking about the soul the whole time, we've been talking about the soul the whole time. God was male and female. But this woman, see, the very symptoms of it shows back what was in God's mind. We could take an hour or two and break that down. She made this creature for that way. He made the creature and turned her so that Satan could get a hold of her, and he did. Now, you can't say it much plainer than that. He made her so Satan could get a hold of her. And Satan couldn't get a hold of Adam the same way. So he had to deceive Eve, and then Eve bring Adam down. That's what Brother Branham was talking about the whole time in marriage and divorce. He made the creature and turned her so that Satan could get a hold of her, and he did. He has still got her. She had better flee to the cross, like man too. Notice, all nature runs in continuity. And he'd have made the woman in the same original creation, there'd have been no sin. You see that? And if that was the case, then God couldn't transmit himself down to be Jesus Christ, because he had set it in place. This was how he was going to transmit himself down to be Jesus Christ. Notice, all nature runs in continuity. We got that. She's a perversion of the original creation. So is all sin a perversion of the original truth? What is a lie? Is the truth perverted? What is adultery? It's a right act perverted. So there is the perverted creature. There is the perverted whole thing. And the whole thing is spelled S-I-N. Laying right there. Unbelief. Unbelief brought a reality into play. That was, Brother Bram called it a howling wasteland. He couldn't have, she couldn't have done it. She's a perversion of the original creation. So, is all sin a perversion? I got that, I'm sorry. Only a piece, scrap, made of a man to deceive him by. God made it. Right here has proved it. That's what she was made for. An immoral woman is the lowest thing that can be thought of on the earth. Excuse this, young ladies. She is nothing but a human garbage can sex exposure. Now think about the spiritual part of that. Think about it. Brother Bram said the woman types the church. You want to know what type of condition the church is in? Look at the woman. She's nothing but a human garbage can. A sex exposal, that's all she is, an immoral woman, is a human sexual garbage can, a pollution where filthy, dirty, ornery, low-down filth is disposed by her. Now, that's hard, brother and sister, that's hard. But I guarantee heaven was happy that day. God was splitting Satan's kingdom apart and pushing his kingdom into being. And if we want to be a part of that kingdom, we're going to have to embrace this word like that. Not kind of, not sort of, not sympathize with it. She is an immoral woman, a human... Okay, that. Paragraph 169. And an analyst just from Chicago, a woman wrote this article. The police force that they chased down in the United States, metropolitan United States, that 98% of every crime that's ever did in any form in the United States... There is either a woman in it or behind it. Now, if that's still the case, they sure are burying that statistic, because you ain't heard that one no more. Now, I'm saying, and I believe it's probably still the case. Now, I'm saying all this to get to one thing here at the end so that you can see what's the matter. I'm saying all this so I can get to one thing here at the end and you can see what's the matter. She was made to deceive, like she did Adam at the beginning, tell him that the fruit was pleasant and so forth, to deceive him and take him away from the word. Now, Brother Branham says other places that Adam was not deceived. So you can get people in the world that can camp down on this and say, see there, Adam was deceived. Well, Brother Branham said he wasn't deceived. So what is he saying here? People can't, you can't just, God has to show you. I can't even show you. I can show you what he says other places. I can point these things out. But I can't give you the revelation. Take him away from the word. That's the way the church does today. The same thing. That's what the church does today. She tells him how good this is and that is. Come on over here. We got this. Come away from the word. That's exactly the same thing. But then after that, he become her ruler to rule over her. Now, what a difference in this day. So even in secondary, when God made him the ruler over her, even that Satan started to pervert. Now, what a difference in this day of conception. Instead of him being her ruler, she has become his God. She rules him. And brother, that is absolutely the truth. And they don't mind telling you. I saw somewhere the other day on the CNN, they had a song by a woman, said, who rules the world? Girls do. And I thought, oh my. Well, I guess they're honest about it. Now, you can probably well understand what I've been hitting at. By her beauty and sex control, her shape that has given to her by Satan, that byproduct that Satan did, she is sent to deceive sons of God. And think about the spiritual part now. there's people that's sent into the message to deceive. Satan gets them all wound up and makes them think they believe this message and sends them in there to pull people away and sin. And I mean, y'all know that. I'm sure Brother Goomba and Brother Don seen that so many times it ain't even an unusual thing anymore. That's exactly right. Now, we're going to end up here in this message called Identification, and then we'll pick back up Wednesday night. I'm sorry, it's already been an hour. I'll try to hurry. Because I try to keep it around an hour because I think that's about all the attention span people have. Not that they can't go get it and listen to it later. I just don't know how many does. So I try to get it to them as much as I can while they're looking at it. Then see, or listening, God come down, and the character of God was Christ. He never said that about Adam. You go find me where he said the character of God was Adam. You're not going to find it. Said he was in his image. Said he looked like him. But he never said he was God or Christ. He was the reflection. He was God made visible. Notice, God made visible. How is he God made visible? How could he turn around and say, you want to see the Father? Have I not been with you all this time? How could he say those things? How could he turn around and say, if you can't believe me and what I'm telling you, then believe the works I do, because they testify. They testify the scripture. God has made those words live in me. Believe those, he said. In the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No, God's an object of worship. Only thing he was the eternal. And in him was attributes, and these attributes were thoughts. And those thoughts were expressed to words, and the words were made manifest. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible, and you're a part of it. This is interesting. Brother Bram said that we come around the theophany. Not yet been the word, he said. We come around it. But now he's saying we're a part of it. How is this happening? The thoughts were expressed to words, and words were made manifest. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible. All of it. Even in the midst of all the mess, the howling sea, Scott, God was still bringing Jesus Christ on the scene. And Jesus came to redeem those. What did he come to redeem? He came to redeem those that were put on the Lamb's Book of Life. It's always been about the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the foundation of the world, it was in God's thoughts. And that's what he came to redeem. That's what he came to bring back. His thoughts. His Lamb's Book, his life, his Lamb's Book of Life. Not that first one. Nothing to do with that first one. He come through that one to prove himself and to show himself. That's why he could say that about Moses. Moses, he said he could be in Moses in part. See? In part. In all those other prophets, in part. In David, in part. And Jesus came to redeem those that were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It was God's thoughts. It was in God's thoughts. And that's what he come to redeem. And them, as soon as it strikes to them, they see it. Remember what we said about the little woman at the well? How that it struck her predestination. It didn't strike this natural life. The natural life acted to it, but it struck the predestination, and it caused the natural life to do things. One day it'll all be God. And Jesus comes to redeem those whose names are put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It was in God's thoughts. And that's what he come to redeem. And them, as soon as it strikes them, they see it. Because the life is there. But if the life isn't there, then what can they do? See? They don't see it. They'll never see it. And the whole thing, as Jesus said, at that day, the whole thing is pointing to this. At that day, what day? This day. You'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. The whole thing is God becoming material. Adam wasn't God material. He wasn't in his theophany. He wasn't in his glorified body. This is God coming material because it comes from that Lamb's Book of Life. The whole thing is God becoming material, like a husband and wife becoming one. See that? God becoming material, he's coming one with his creation. See that union? There's where the union is. And when we're born again, the spirit doesn't change. It doesn't die. The flesh doesn't. The whole thing is God becoming material, like a husband and wife becoming one together. God and his church becoming one. Now, it taken something to redeem this fallen woman, which was typified in Eve when she fell. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. See, Adam wasn't. He wasn't deceived. Remember a while ago when I just read to you where it said that Eve deceived him? Adam knowed that he was doing wrong. She didn't. That's the reason. Brother, the scripture says to know to do good and to do it not. To him it is a sin. Eve was in the transgression, but Adam sinned. But see, all that is, it's displaying, showing by type, like the whole Bible, God coming together with a redeemed wife. He bought back the right to express himself. A bride that had in God coming together with a redeemed wife. A bride that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. That one. That's the one he's coming in glory with. Coming into union with. That one. We know that. What? That was the attributes of God being displayed. And now to make a character that could redeem this woman, it had to be something greater than her to redeem her. And did you ever notice? Now, as some of you Armenian brothers are a doctrine that is legalist, would disagree. Just pardon me for a minute. I might project this. If he is the redeemer, I don't say this to hurt now, but or to be different. I don't preach doctrine, but let me ask you something. If he is a redeemer, now listen close to what he tells us here. He come, a redeem is to pick up that which was fallen. To redeem back to a place where it was at the beginning. So, we know that Adam, back there, Brother Bram even says sometimes, redeem us back to Adam and Eve, redeem us back to Eden. So what does he mean when he's saying redeem us back to that? Redeem us back to a place where it was at the beginning. And why I'm asking that question is because Brother Branham told us that I lost my thought there. Brother Branham told us that it'll come to me in a minute. Let me pick this up. Satan is not going to get this. I'm not putting up with that anymore. Come a time when Paul was told to tell that woman to be quiet. That Satan and that woman to be quiet. And it's time for Satan to be quiet. It was the attributes of God being displayed. All right, Armenia. To redeem back to a place where it was at the beginning. Okay, so now I have my thought again. Adam and Eve back there in the beginning, what was it? He done it again. I'm sorry. To redeem back to a place where it was at the beginning. And when they were back there at the beginning, Adam was not in a theophany. He was not in a glorified body, and he was under a covenant that was not eternal. So is God talking about he's going to take us back to that? What is he talking about then? It looks like he's talking about that in many places where he says that about Adam and Eve, but what is he talking about? So none will be picked up but them that was in his thoughts at the beginning. What's he picking up? He's picking his thought back up. He went and got his book. Remember? That's his thoughts. Wrote down there. In Christ. And he went and got them. To bring them to pass. He's been bringing them to pass all this time through Christ. That's a glorious picture, brother. I don't know how it don't excite people. He come to redeem not this cannon fodder. But we see around professing to be Christians, but what he came to redeem was what in God's thinking at the beginning. See, God's thought didn't go nowhere, but he couldn't express it because creation was brought away. So he come back, took all that out, paid the price, and now he can take his thought and make it happen. But now his thought had been expressed already. His thought had been expressed in Christ. And we, Brother Bram said, we were on the cross in Christ. We walked up the hill with Christ. Brother Bram said we was in Elijah when Elijah stood against all those prophets back there. All the time it's been God becoming tangible. He come to redeem, not the cannon fodder. He came to redeem that was in God's thinking at the beginning. This other is just something that mixed around and showed the stature. See? It's just a garden, a flower garden. That plays its part. But the stature is what you want to see. The stature of Christ, which was God projected to the earth in the form of a man. And that was not Adam, brother and sister. Never was Adam. Adam was part of it. Adam was coming through that. That's the stature you want to see. That's the one. This other is just makeup parts, you see. Now, he's reflected his loving, noble character. God reflected in a man called Christ. God reflected in a man called Christ. It was only one. He was the only one that could do it. The only man that could do it. There was no other character in heaven could do it, see. Was God. The only one that could reflect God's character. He was the sinless nature. He was the word, sinless nature of God. He was the word expressed. What's the sinless nature? He is the word expressed. He was the sinless nature. He was the word expressed. Which the word was the beginning. And if you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, you was God's expression from his thought. He's seen you, and he's seen your desire before there was ever even an Adam or anything else. And you are his thought made word and expressed in what you are now. See, when you're born again, expressed in what you are now. That's God in you, reflecting Christ today. You know what I mean. Amen. I appreciate one listening. I held you over there a little bit, but Brother Brandon preached 3 hours at a time and 2 hours at a time and stuff, so I didn't go over too much. I appreciate everyone listening. I love you. I love this message. And I want nothing in the world but for this message to live in me. And God will do that. He is doing that. And so let's thank Him for it. And as Brother Bounce said, let's look to Him for revelation, greater revelation every day. Let's stand. Let's sing one. Well, no, let's just pray. Let's pray. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, You know my heart. And You know, Lord, that everyone stands, Lord, before You as an individual. And Lord, I've asked You to search me and to find anything, Lord, in me that's wrong and take it out, Lord. And I appreciate the trials that come, Lord, because a lot of times they point to the things that I need to die to. And I appreciate them so much, Lord. And no trial, Lord, is going to stop a son or daughter of God. Every trial will just point out, and she or he will see it and take a step higher. Lord, let us realize trials are that, Lord. And let us step into those and walk through them, Lord, and come out on the other side with You as our leader, Lord, proving in our life that You are alive again, Lord, and that You're manifested on this earth in this day, Lord. We give You all the thanks and praise and pleasure. Go with us. Keep each one that might have to go out in the weather or in the storm, Lord. I pray You'll just be with them and take care of each one. I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.